Welcome to this third quarter presentation. My name is Henrik Källén, acting CEO of Avanza. I will start with a business update, and after this, our CFO, Birgitta Hagenfeldt, will take you through the financials. The presentation will take approximately 20 minutes, and we'll open up for questions afterwards. You can also post questions through the system during the presentation to be answered afterwards. The third quarter 2016 gave an operating profit of SEK 122 million. It was 10% higher than in second quarter, a result of higher commission income and seasonally lower costs. Compared to third quarter last year, higher other income due to success of Avanza Markets and higher fund commissions contributed positively, and the result increased by 13%. The stock market picked up in the quarter, with SIX return index increasing by 10%. The positive market contributed to higher risk appetite among our customers, who are net buyers in the stock market and increased their share of equity funds and mixed funds. Also, the share of foreign equity trading increased somewhat, which affected FX income positively. Corporate transactions were at normal seasonal low in third quarter, but we think they are expected to increase later in the year if the investment climate remains. Our work on digitization and internal efficiencies have continued, with, for example, improved handling of ISK transfers and by optimizing our fund flows. This has resulted in a strengthened cost position. The cost to savings capital decreased from 25 basis points to 21 basis points compared with the nine-month period last year. This result resulted in an operating margin for the first 9 months of 52%, which shows strength in this low rate climate. Together with our strong cost position, this gives us room for further investments. We see plenty of opportunities in the market due to the changing customer behavior, increased digitization, and new regulation coming. All in all, these play in our advantage and open up for new possibilities for us to further strengthen Avanza's position in Sweden. Therefore, we will invest in more resources and are guiding for higher costs during 2017. With a cost increase of 15% to 20% compared to 2016. Thereafter, we will return to an annual cost growth of 8% to 10%. Our estimated growth for 2016 of 8% to 10% remains. During the year, we have upgraded our customer offering further, which together with our existing offering and our strong brand attracted 24,500 new customers in the third quarter. During the year, as many as 73,700 individual savers chose Avanza, and already in second quarter, we exceeded our customer growth targets. Altogether, our customers generated a net inflow of close to 6 billion in the third quarter, and the savings capital now totals to 223 billion. The portfolio generator had by the end of the quarter attracted 1.3 billion in fund capital, an increase of 30% from second quarter. This shows we are on the right track and encourage us to continue to develop decision-making tools. Since our business model is built on scalability, customer growth and growth in savings capital is very important, making customer satisfaction one of our key priorities. During the year, we have launched 1,800 improvements in our channel, of which a large part as a direct consequence of our customers' feedback. We have done several improvements to user experience to make our digital tools easier to use and making them more intuitive. Therefore, I'm very happy that our customer satisfaction has increased further to an NPS of 70 compared with 68 for 2015. NPS, or Net Promoter Score, also known as Ambassador Index, shows our customers' recommendation rate, and a result over 50 is extremely good. The vast majority of our new customers come on recommendation from another other Avanza customers, which shows the strength in our brand and the importance of innovative product development and improvements. Avanza's market share in terms of number of transactions on the Stockholm Stock Exchange and First North, the third quarter, was record high at 15.2%, up from 13% in the second quarter and from 10.8% in the third quarter last year. This is a result of strong customer growth. Also, the market share in terms of turnover was up to 7.5%. The overall activity on the Stockholm Stock Exchange and First North measured in turnover was down by 15% compared with the third quarter last year. In terms of trades, activity rose by 4%. Turnover at Avanza, however, was only down 5%, and trading activity accounted as number of trades rose by as much as 47%. The increased trading activity is a result of strong growth in number of commission-generating customers. However, the average transaction size has gone down, and also income per commission note. This is in line with our price-leading strategy and also a result of our customer base getting younger and that more customers trade in lower brokerage classes. However, looking at our customers' activity and the number of commission notes per customer, this shows a positive trend. Also, brokerage commission income is on high levels, although it has fallen from the extraordinary high levels at year end. This proves our business model, which is designed to give our customer a better, easier, and less expensive offering than others, and thereby attract more customers and increase revenues. So even though we have seen and also contributed to price pressure in the stock market, our growing customer base and our customers' trading activity are increasing total brokerage income. Attracting new customers was the aim with both the launch of our new price plan in fourth quarter 14 and with Start for commission-free trading in May this year. Start should be seen as an entry product, and Avanza Zero for equity trading. Avanza Zero's customers have 90% of their savings capital in other revenue-generating products. And in third quarter, 70% of our Start customers were commission-generating. As already mentioned, both customer inflow and inflow of savings capital was strong in the quarter. Net inflow in 2016 is even ahead of last year's record inflow, up 5%. However, after last quarter's record inflow, boosted by inflow from Remium of SEK 2.2 billion, we saw a decrease of 37% in third quarter. During the quarter, most of the inflow came from new customers. Customer growth was 20% higher than in third quarter last year and up 6% from second quarter. Looking at the customer base, we continue to attract a larger number of younger people, which is shown by the red line in this graph. As we see savings capital grow substantially with age, we see great potential in our customer base. We divide savers into three different groups: do-it-myself investors, help-me-do-it investors, and do-it-for-me investors. To increase growth pace and to attract broader customer groups with younger savers as well as those who want and need more support, we will continue to improve our mobile offering and further develop digital decision support tools. Today, we have a market share of 3% of the savings market, but looking at the entire Swedish population, our market share is 5.4%. Our market share has grown steady during the years, and in the light of coming regulation and new customer behavior, we see an opportunity to grow faster. This is also important in the light of increased competition from new fintech players. Looking at customer behavior and choice of device, the visits from mobile devices to Avanza's platform have increased during the last 3 years, but without cannibalizing on the visit from desktop. This clearly shows the importance of a high customer experience in all devices and encourage us to hurry up the innovation pace. This slide shows our new product launches during the years and the growth in savings capital and number of active customers. As you can see, customer growth picked up from 2013, which is when we launched our new platform, and our product offering development took off again. These product offerings are of different nature and range from price reductions to more innovative launches. Important when it comes to new products is it's not only to attract new and broader customer groups, but also to maintain satisfaction among our core and more trading-intensive customers, the do-it-myself customers. To speed up growth and to make sure we keep momentum, we will increase our efforts, especially when it comes to user experience. Avanza is bursting with innovation and the many ways we want to improve our offering. Our business model is built to attract customers by giving them more money left in their pockets with us than with any other bank due to low fees and better tools. That's how we build customer value and growth for a sustainable business. In the long run, a highly competitive cost savings capital ratio is tremendously important for our ability to maintain price leadership while maintaining high profitability in any market condition. We strive to a cost position where it's hard for others to follow. This is also shown in the resilience of our operating margin, which was 52% for the first 9 months, a slightly decrease from 53% from last year. To sum this up, we see a lot of opportunities going forward, and to maintain growth momentum and our strong competitive position, we are focusing on three specific areas going forward. First, attracting new customer groups, including younger savers and those who require support. Second, maintaining our core customers happy. And third, further increase scalability in our business and continue to strengthen our cost leadership. To achieve this, we need to focus on a number of core activities to keep up growth momentum. These activities will revolve around developing our product offering with new user-friendly innovative products and to make our revenues more resilient to different market conditions, where increased growth in our pension business is one example. The upcoming regulatory changes with MiFID II and other regulations will make it increasingly more expensive for the incumbent banks to offer financial advisory service the coming years, while at the same time the price sensitivity among the retail segment becomes clearer. Consequently, we believe a growing part of the retail market will be forced into digital services for their savings and investments. This is a great opportunity for us to capture growth over the coming years. We will therefore further improve and simplify our digital experience, including our mobile solutions for both Android and iOS. Platform evolution is, as always, ongoing with regular improvements every 9th day. In the light of income pressure and higher costs due to regulation, together with our increased investments, our internal efficiency projects to increase scalability is vital. Therefore, we are continuously increasing scalability by searching for efficiencies measures in our processes, improve stability and quality, as well as reduce operational risks. Our aim is to automate as many internal processes as possible to get closer to 100% digital. This, together with further growth, will continue to decrease the cost to savings capital ratio from current 21 bps and making us reach our long-term target below 20 basis points, despite increased investments guided for in 2017. A prerequisite for all these activities are engaged colleagues that feel they contribute to something meaningful and enjoy coming to work. Overall, this will contribute to create customer value and to maintain and enhance our industry-leading customer satisfaction. This also keeps customers talking about Avanza and recommend us to their friends and families, creating growth and shareholder value long term. Thank you. Now, Birgitta will take you through the more detailed financials.
Thank you, Henrik. Operating profit increased slightly by 1% compared with the nine-month period last year, giving an operating margin of 52%. Operating income increased by 3% compared to the last year, driven by higher income from Avanza Markets. Avanza Markets was launched last summer for commission-free ETP trading and are trading on both NDX and OMX. This has been a very successful launch, and Avanza Markets accounted for 61% of the total turnover on the ETP market during the nine-month period, and 67% in Q3. Operating expenses were up 5% year-on-year, mainly due to increased staff costs. Costs to savings capital ratio for the nine-month period decreased to 21 basis points, which strengthens our competitiveness further. Altogether, it gives us earnings per share of 10.06 kronor for the period, a decrease of 1% year-on-year. Total revenues for the third quarter increased year-on-year by 9% to 220 million, a decrease by 2% quarter-on-quarter. Quarterly brokerage income was stable year-on-year, and rose by 3% compared to the second quarter. The number of stock transactions increased by 43% year-on-year, and the number of commission-generating customers rose by 30%. At the same time, the size of the transactions was smaller. Taken together, this means that more customers are trading equities, but at lower volumes and in lower brokerage fee classes, more suited to their trading patterns. The repo rate cut in February, coupled with lower mortgage rates in the second quarter, kept pressure on net interest income that were down 12% year-on-year. The repo rate was, on an average, 16 basis points lower during Q3 16 compared to the same period last year. And STIBOR 3 months showed the same trend and was, on an average, 27 basis points lower year-on-year. All else equal, disregarding changes in customer behavior, a 1 percentage point interest rate change would, at current volumes, imply an effect on net interest income of about 180 to 220 million Swedish kroners. During the quarter, the customers took on more risk and invested further in investment funds. Along with a positive market, this resulted in 18% higher fund commissions year-on-year. This is also the result of mixed effects, where our customers have invested a larger proportion in funds with higher fees. Other income increased year-on-year by 58%, mainly due to higher market share in the ETP markets, but also due to customers trading more on the foreign stock markets, leading to increased fixed income, FX income. Avanza Markets part of other income amounted to 36%. Corporate finance income was on seasonally low levels. Compared to the second quarter, other income decreased by 24%, mainly due to corporate finance. Total operating expenses in the third quarter increased by 4% year-on-year to 98 million, but decreased quarter-on-quarter by 13%. Personnel costs, the dark green line, increased by 6% year-on-year. This increase is, as mentioned earlier, mainly due to the expansion in our IT development department, compliance, and legal. Compared to last quarter, the personnel cost decreased by 16%, which is a seasonal effect due to summer vacations. Marketing expenses, depreciation, and other costs are at about the same level as last year and compared to the second quarter. The operating expenses for the nine-month period increased compared to last year by 5%. And our cost guidance for 2016 remains, with an increase by 8-10% compared to 2015, which means that the operating costs for the last quarter will increase by close to 20% compared to Q4 15. As Henrik already mentioned, expenses are expected to rise in 2017 at a rate of 15-20% before returning to the rate of 8-10% per year. This is due to increased efforts to further improve growth pace. The cost increase in 2017 will affect personnel costs as well as IT costs and other costs, as our efforts going forward, for example, will include larger premises and increased IT development. Operating profit in the third quarter increased by 13% year-on-year. Compared to the second quarter, the profit increased by 10% due to lower costs. The operating margin was 55% for the quarter, and for the nine-month period, the operating margin was 52%, which is slightly lower than the average level during 2015 on 54%, a result of further investment in growth, the market environment, and a broader customer base with younger customers. Profit after tax in the third quarter increased year-on-year by 13% and increased by 12% compared to Q2. The income per savings capital for the nine-month period was 45 basis points, a decrease of 9 basis points compared to the corresponding period 15, which is in line with our business model and overall strategy to attract more customers and more savings capital. Income per savings capital for the quarter was 42 basis points. The cost per savings capital decreased by 4 basis points year to year to 21, to be compared with 25 at year-end and 23 in Q2. Cost per savings capital for the quarter was 19, a decrease by 4 basis points compared to Q3 last year. Given continued strong growth in customer and savings capital, we still see good opportunities to lower the cost to savings capital ratio below 20 basis points in a few years, even though we increase our cost guidance. Lending is still on low levels in spite of increased stock market activity, even though total lending was up 14% during the quarter and 15% since year end and amounted to 7.5 billion. Margin lending was up 9% during the quarter to 3.9 billion and is amounting to 1.8% of total savings capital. We see a great demand for our mortgage loan offering, and mortgage lending was up 19% during the quarter to 3.3 billion. In the quarter, we extended the lending ceiling further with another 0.5 billion to 4.5 billion to meet customers' demand. Deposits, including external accounts, decreased by 1% in Q3 to 34.5 billion, but has since year end increased by 14%. Deposits stood for 15.5% of total savings capital by the end of September, compared to 17.8% at the end of June, which is 2 percentage points lower as a result of our customers' increased risk willingness to invest in stocks and mutual funds. As a result, our covered bond portfolio decreased by 2% to 13.5 billion during the quarter. However, since year end, it has increased by 12%. The total capital ratio in the consolidated situation was 19.5% compared to the requirements, including buffers, of 12%. In June, the countercyclical buffer rose from 1% to 1.5%. The liquidity coverage ratio was 4.34 at the end of the period compared to the requirements of 0.7. This strong capital situation entitles us to keep on growing, also in a quicker pace. Our dividend policy to distribute at least 70% of the net profit to our shareholders remains. And there, Henrik, I think we could turn over to questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now, and you'll enter a queue. We have our first question from Peter Mullen of Handelsbanken. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Great. Thank you, and good morning. I would like to start with a question regarding these additional investments as you informed about today. How far are you into this process, and is it reasonable to assume that's sort of like the steep cost growth you're guiding for in Q4 is sort of like the initiation of these investments?
Yeah, you could say that we are starting at as you know, we have already added a lot of IT development personnel and so forth. So, yes, you see a start in the Q4 and going on into next year.
Okay, and how well defined is this investment in terms of how confident are you that the guide cost range as well as the timing of this being more or less completed than the 2017 investment phase, that will actually be the case?
Well, I wouldn't say that the investment will be completed during 17, because what we are doing is adding a lot of additional personnel that will continue to deliver even in 18. So this is a start where we accelerate the growth pace, and we believe that we will deliver a lot of interesting things already in 17.
Okay, and how sort of like the investment process here? I mean, is this how flexible is it in the sense that if the markets were to sort of like turn, take a downshift, and then sort of like your income momentum would slow down more than expected, would you then sort of like change the investment process, maybe slow it down a bit and take it over a longer period, or is this like an investment you need? Do you think you should do it out of competitive reasons, regardless?
We think that we will do this regardless of the market conditions, but having that said, we could also decide during the way to slow it down or even at the on the other way around. But of course, we could make decisions during the way that could change this. But this is not an investment that we are doing due to the market conditions. It's a long-term investment.
This is to keep our momentum in our growth pace that we've been seeing during this year and before also, and to accelerate our position in the Swedish market. We've been working with our strategy going forward and the possibilities that we see ahead quite a long time now, and now we have put down the numbers so everybody can know what we are going on, what it's going to cost. And we are here for the long term.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And then if you could give some information about sort of like the positive development for sort of like the digital advisory or digital support services that you've launched so far. What kind of clients are using these services, and are there any specific characteristics to these kind of clients in terms of anything that stands out?
Okay, good question. As I mentioned, we have divided our customers in three different groups. Do it myself, help me do it, and do it for me, investors. Having said that, do it for me, investor, can also be a do it myself investor, depending on what kind of savings they are looking at. For example, the pension savings, a customer that normally do the savings themselves don't necessarily have to do that with their pension savings. So, saying that this digital decision tools that we have offered for the portfolio generator can be used by all of our clients, but we see also a demand from new customer groups coming in that they need more help going to start at Avanza. So it's both for both groups, so to say.
Okay. Thank you. And then just a final question before I leave to the next person would be, so like now we've had a very strong market recovery and generally there's a much more positive sentiment and inflow. Is it reasonable to assume that so like the trend we've seen of like lower transaction values and smaller ticket sizes on average, that this trend could turn for the better if this positive momentum and market development stays?
What we see is that we have record high customer-generating commission, but the income per commission note is lower. This is due to our growth in younger customers and also that we have changed our price plans. If you look at our total customer base and savings capital growth with age, we believe that the savings capital will grow with age and also the trades they do in the stock on the stock exchanges long term. Which we think will continue to grow in with younger people and those who need some more support and so on, it's probably going to be on this level, maybe a little bit lower.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Monica Hanfeldt of SCB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. So just following up on the investment and cost guidance, how do you see this increased cost getting distributed over? Will there be a tilt toward increased personal costs or mainly IT developments?
Well, the cost will increase in different parts of our P&L. So it will be both personnel costs, it will be IT costs and other costs as well. So this is not only due to more employees.
Okay. But we should see an increase in the number of employees that's larger than history.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then a question on the competition. I'm just wondering how you perceive the competitive landscape now that Swedbank will initiate a venture with Sprinklebits.
Well, so far we haven't seen any competition from that bank, but of course, as we said, it's the market is more competitive now than before, which we think is good because that means that we need to be even better to get our customers. We like competition.
Okay. And then a bit more nitty-gritty perhaps, but on page 5 you had a graph on the brokerage generating customers compared to the notes per customers. And we can see that the brokerage generating customers are growing on trend, but there's been a decoupling with the correlation in the recent quarters where notes per customer has decreased. Do you have any explanations for this?
Could you please take that question again?
Yeah. So you can see that notes per customer and the brokerage generating customers has been growing exactly on page 5. Has been rather correlated, and you can see that it's been a decoupling from this correlation in the recent quarters. Do you know any facts to explain this?
We had an extraordinarily high trading activity during last quarter 15 and first quarter 16, and that was the biometric stocks that was highly traded then. So I think that's why.
All right. So the fingerprint factor.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Peter Kessiakoff of SCB. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi, Peter Kessiakoff from SCB. Okay, it was not my intention to take the questions right after Monica, but just a follow-up question from what she asked. In terms of the customers where you're growing, you're saying that you're now growing going forward in customers that need more help or that want you to help them fully. Does that mean that we should expect that the cost that you need to invest for every new customer that you gain going forward will be more expensive than in the past? Is that one of the reasons why you need to do these investments? That's my first question.
Yeah, and my answer on that is no. We don't think it's going to cost more to get these kind of customers into Avanza. It's the same. You know, 7 out of 10 new customers come through recommendation, and we're going to continue to work with that and continue to have a very high Net Promoter Score and good service and good product. So it's going to be the same, I guess, I think.
Okay. Then just in terms of you mentioned that you want to see more stable revenues, and pensions were one example. Could you give any other examples where you would want to increase your exposure so that the income becomes more stable over time?
As always, we will inform the market when we launch new products. We never do that ahead. So we'll be looking into a lot of different areas, when we're going to launch them, we're going to inform the market.
And are these new investments that we should expect to see, say, during second half of 2017, or will it be fairly evenly distributed over 2017, or how should we look at that?
We never say when we're going to launch or what to expect, as you know. So when we have the new products or features ready, we're going to inform the market.
Okay, fair enough. Then just in terms of the impact from higher interest rates, you mentioned that, 100 basis points higher interest rates in Sweden would improve your NII quite significantly. But I think over time you said that you want to have an operating margin around 50%, implying that if you, of course, see higher net interest income from higher rates, you will invest more. Is that the way we should look at it over the longer term as well?
Well, at least it means that we could invest more and that we have the opportunity to look over either our price plans or our costs or our investments. So it gives us the opportunity to make decisions of what path to choose.
Okay, but simply expecting that impact to fall straight down onto the operating profit is not a fair assumption given how you comment around margins over time.
Well, that's quite hard to say because, I mean, what we are trying to do is deliver on our promise, more to you, less to the bank. Having a too high margin doesn't really rhyme with that profit. So I wouldn't say that we never will deliver a higher profit margin than so, but at least it will give us the opportunity to rather continue to grow and to increase our efforts on the growth instead.
Okay, then just one last question in terms of the mutual funds, where you saw a good income uptick during this quarter. And I think if you calculate the average margin that you saw on your mutual funds, it was 34 basis points on an annualized basis in this quarter, which is up from roughly 32 basis points seen the last couple of quarters. Is there anything in particular in this, or can we expect a similar level going forward, or should we see a small decline? How would you view the margin there?
What we've seen this quarter is that the risk willingness by our customers has gone up some, meaning that we've seen that the customers that saves in funds choose more stock funds and mixed funds compared to second quarter. Also, we see a good inflow in the fund capital coming from the pension business, but also from our other customers. So, going forward, That's very hard to say, but we see a higher risk willingness now in our customer base. Also seeing that when they are trading more stocks and also in foreign exchanges, seeing that the FX income has gone up also. So if it's a trend, I don't know, but that's what we see right now.
And you can see that our customers are acting pretty fast when the market condition changes. So, I mean, this increase is due to both more risk willingness, but also due to the market going up. We can see pretty quick how our customers changes when the market condition changes.
Okay, then just one final question. You mentioned that the income per trade that you earn on the younger customers, which is where you're growing the fastest currently, is lower than the average. Could you say anything about how much less you're earning on the younger customers than you are on the average? I mean, taking for instance that you now are growing the fastest within those that are around 25 years old. Just what's the average commission that you earn on trades on them, for instance?
Well, we don't calculate income per year or per what age our customers have, but what we can see is younger customers usually have less capital, which means that they usually you chose one of our price plans, Start or Mini, as the first entry product. But as we have said in the report, we can also see that these younger customers or those who actually chosen Start is not only trading on the Stockholm Stock Exchange, so they are still generating commission from other trades. So I believe they are more younger people chose the Start and the Mini price plan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Nicholas McBeak of DNB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, and congratulations to a strong quarter. I think it was very encouraging to see the strong customer growth sustained in Q3. I think the net inflows on the back of the strong customer growth could have been somewhat higher, and you mentioned that most of the net savings came from new customers. Do you see any potential to increase net savings from existing customers here over the coming quarters? That's my first question.
Absolutely. And as we said in the webcast, we have three focus areas. One of them is to maintain our core investors happy. So going forward, we're gonna work with products and services for both new customers, new customer groups, and also for our existing customers. In this volatile market, we have seen before that existing customers' net inflow fluctuates and over years, and also we've seen that the share of deposit on the Swedish savings market have been growing during the last years, and then our existing customers usually not put in more money in when it's quite turbulent. They stay on their salary account, savings account, and it's fluctuate quite a lot between new customers and existing customers net inflow. But we think over time, it's going to be average 50-50.
So you would assume that if markets become more stable here in Q4 and maybe also into next year, that the net savings from existing customers will increase. Is that your expectation?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. And then on the cost growth again for 2017, it seems like the cost guidance you gave last time in Q2 that also kind of should enable investment in innovation and new product offering and user experience. Can you say something about what has changed in since by the end of second quarter when you guided for cost growth of 8 to 10%?
Well, we've been seeing during the quarter and the last two quarters that what we have done, what we have developed in product offering and services has been very positive taken from our customers. For example, the portfolio generator was growth with 30% since second quarter, and also what we've done on the mobile offering, seeing that 60% of the customers who come to us uses mobile devices. These are things that we have followed for a time, quite time, and now we see that we have a strong momentum and a great potential going forward. Therefore, we see the possibility now to speed up our growth pace. So we've been following this for quite time, and we also done large strategy work during the year, and now we see a great potential going forward. Therefore, we have guided for this for 2017.
Okay. And then on Avanza Markets, I think you, Birgitta, mentioned how much Avanza Markets contributed to of the other income. Could you just confirm or repeat that number, and also say something about the outlook for further growth in revenues from Avanza Markets?
Well, Avanza Markets stood for 36% of the other income for the Q3. But then you should remember that corporate finance revenues were very low this quarter. I would say that Avanza Markets started in the end of Q2 15. At very low levels, which means that compared to last year, the growth is significant. And Avanza Market did grow very fast for the first 6 months or the first 9 months. So I wouldn't expect it to have the same growth compared to the last quarter, but it will still continue to grow compared to last year.
Okay, thank you. And then my last question, a bit more specific on the net interest income. It fell a bit further here in the third quarter, I suppose because of the lower interest rates. If we assume that interest rates or market rates would remain at current levels, could you give us a bit of insight on the outlook for net interest income for the fourth quarter, also assuming that you know, deposit volumes and the size of the liquidity portfolio would be roughly at the same levels as they were by the end of the third quarter. Yeah, I mean, really, if the fall in interest rates have been reflected in the NII in the third quarter, if there should be some more pressure.
Well, if you compare it to this quarter, so I would say that there won't be any more pressure since the interest rate level has been the same, about the same quarter Q3. If you that's what you expect for the next quarter. What we will see though is that our lending has gone up during the third quarter, which hasn't gone through the P&L fully, so you probably would see an increase in interest income from our lending portfolio.
Okay, that's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad now. Once again, any further questions, please dial 01. There are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead, speakers.
Okay, thank you very much for listening in, and I hope you get the information so you understand Avanza going forward.
Thank you, and goodbye.